and it's called Willing To. Because the truth is, a lot of us have desires, but we're really not willing to carry them out. And Jesus made a big deal. He said he went around Israel, and he was looking for one main thing. He was looking for faith. And he didn't find it much. As a matter of fact, he said there are some towns he could not do work in because he did not find people there who would believe. And I remember one time it said that a centurion had sent word and said, would you heal this guy that's a servant of mine? He's not Jewish, but he is a God-fearing person. And would you come and heal him? And then he sent another word and he said, no, you don't need to come. Just say it and it'll be done. And he said, of this man, I've not seen that kind of faith in all of Israel. And it said the servant went back and told him, he said, that's fine. And they compared times. And that was the time his servant was healed. God's looking for people who will trust him. I was blessed yesterday, got to know one of the girls from Herndon. And as we were talking, it was cool. She said, well, tell me about your church. What do you guys do? And what do you believe? And things like that. So as we were talking, she shared, she said, you know, I think there's a God. But you know, I pray and I just don't ever see him work. I'm like, you know what? I'm with you. I understand that. And she shared some things that were hard that she was praying about. And I said, hey, let me tell you a story about the way God's answered some prayers in my life. And so I did. And I said, let me ask you this. Take some of my faith. Let me just share. You can borrow some of my faith. Keep trusting God. Keep asking. Because sometimes God says no. He's answering, but it's a no because it's not going to help you. And sometimes his answer is wait. And sometimes he answers like now and it's crazy and why did he even care? But I said, take some of my faith and just keep asking because God brought you here and I think God's at work in your life. And that's the way it is. God says, are you willing? And so we're going to look at this just for a couple of weeks. And today I want to start out kind of unpacking some things, but I do need to start with some clear truth, okay? This is the context, okay? There will come a day, and I think as believers, we don't really get this. We know that, okay, if I've trusted Christ, I will not go to hell. I will stand before God and he'll say, that's my son or daughter. And we're like high-fiving, like, that is so awesome. It says that when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's our hope. It's real. It's tangible. However, are you aware that you will review your life with the Lord? We don't have the judgment at the great white throne, but we have the judgment as believers before what's called the Bema Seat of Christ. And this is where it talks about it. 2 Corinthians 5. It says, therefore, we also have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds or rewarded in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And what does that mean? It means that God is not going to judge you whether you're going to heaven or not. That's done. But he is going to evaluate, how did you live this life? What did you do with this life he gave you? What did you do with the abilities and the gifting and all the things you got? How did you use it? We're not off scot-free. But what he says then, go to the next verse. In 1 Corinthians 3, it actually builds on that. It says, for by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation, talking about his life, as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any other foundation than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. Okay, now back it up. I'm not through that yet. He's saying Jesus has laid the foundation. His work is the finished work. We don't do much other than saying, okay, God, you have let me come to know you as Savior. You've given me promises. You've given me your truth. You enable me to love people and do things. And I can actually do things as unto you. And God invites us to lay up treasures in heaven. And so he says, as we do things with the right motives in his name, some never noticed by anyone else, he says, I take account. And when you're doing that, you are building on my foundation. It's his foundation, it's not ours, but what we build on that in our life is really important. And he says there's two different types of things you can put on there, gold, silver, or costly stones, like diamonds and gems. He says you can do those. Those are incredible. Those have worth and value. But he says sometimes when we do things with wrong motives, to have people see us, or while we're living in sin, he says there's really no glory there. So what we do, people think it's great, but in actuality, they're wood, straw, hay, and straw. And then go forward. And this is what he says about it. Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, meaning it's just going to go. It's not there. But notice, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Meaning this, in my picture, in my head of what's going on there, God says, okay, I'm going to take everything you did, I'm going to put it on a big heap, and you're on top, and then I'm going to turn the fire on below it. And the fire there is to refine it. So things that are wood, hay, and stubble, they're going to burn, gone, done. So the only thing, you know, it's getting down to what's real. And then the gold, the silver, and the gems, they'll all be there. But he does challenge us. If our life has nothing to show, we're still saved. But we're going to be going down and it's just going to be us. There'll be nothing he can give us. His desire is to bless us now. But he's even more serious to say, you know what? It's going to rust here. It's going to get stolen here. Lay up treasures in heaven. If you do that, that's yours. And that's part of what we can even offer God in eternity. But he says, that matters. I want that to motivate you. So we will be judged. We are not living scot-free. We are accountable for all the things we've been given. And honestly, you guys have been given a lot. You've been given a lot of truth. Many of you have taken advantage and taken and had a lot of opportunity. And God says, not a burden, just know that, use it. Because the only thing we're holding back when we don't use it is the ability for the world to actually see he's there. And he says, that's our role and that's our job. So, we will give account, and my prayer is that you're wise builders and that you'll have much to show for the life you've given it. Secondly, when we are asked to do things, we often consider it based on how we think we'll do, or how much it will cost me, or whether the effort is even going to pay off. This year I had the privilege of hanging out with 35 high school guys at Herndon. Well, you know, the number should have been a lot bigger than that, but there are a lot of guys who made the call. They're like, they're not going to win anything. They may not even win a stupid game. Why the heck would I go out for a team like that? Well, you know, if everybody has that attitude, you might as well shut it down, right? Like, why even play? So, we had our last game 2 weeks ago. And the coach pulled them together, and I think he spoke well. He just said, you know what, guys? Even though we only won one game this year, it's all we won. You guys have grown as individual men, and you have shared something together. I am proud of you. You have demonstrated great maturity, great humility. And I had told them many times, I'm just really proud of them. It's crazy. The district we're in, one team out of our district will win states. It's just the way it works. Probably 4 or 5 could. We're not that strong, so we stand out as not being as strong as those who win states every year. But you know what? In almost every other county in Virginia, we'd probably kick butt. So they're willing to go, even though they know they won't win a whole lot. That's awesome. They're willing to. How about you? I know in this generation, there seems to be more of an attitude of, if I can't be really good, I won't even try. I want to throw it out there to you. You know what? You're going to miss a lot of life if that's the way you evaluate things. I'm not going to share with you that there's a ton of quotes, but some of the most influential and successful people have made statements saying, if I was willing to go out and fail and try and learn and fail and try and learn, and it finally led me to the point where I was able to be the person you now know. Failure sometimes is our greatest teacher. Teams, you know, Westfield, you know, the guys that are not maybe on the starting team, they go through 4 years, they don't learn a lot. Our guys learn a lot. I mean, they watch a lot and they enjoy the success, and they're great, for sure. But I can tell you, I'm proud of my guys, because I think they grew as young men, probably far more than others. And I would transfer that to life. Are you willing to go in places and do things where you're going to have to embrace the awkward? Do things that, like, I don't know if I'll do well or not. But why not? You know, you do high school one time. And I talked to some of the guys that were even considering. I said, dude, do it. You know, my senior year, after my season, I realized I retired from football. And that really stunk. Because I went to William & Mary, and they were Division I, and I would have been a blocking dummy, and it wasn't worth it. I had to figure out the studies at that point. But I want you to hear that through the lens of life. Go for it. And especially things of the Lord. Go for it. You know, the opportunities you have this summer to do missions? Go for it. Why would you not? Don't let fear, don't let your sense of what your value is hold you back. Go for it. It's interesting. Moses was picked by God. He said, you need to go down to your people, and you're the one that's going to actually tell Pharaoh, you're done. I'm taking my people back. And he's like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, I know the whole Pharaoh thing. I've been there, done that. And he said, his excuse was, he goes, I just can't talk too good. And it was accurate. He was not eloquent. And God didn't care. He said, you're my man. So finally he said, all right, I'll do it. And he said, well, because you're struggling, I'll let your brother, Aaron, he'll do the talking, but you're going to go. He was finally willing to. Are you like Moses? You struggle? Or are you like Jonah? Where God showed up to Jonah and said, I want you to go and tell this nation that's really wicked that they're really bad, and I'm going to bust them up. They're done. He got on a ship and went the other way. He said, no, I am totally not into that. I am not willing. Is that you? You know what God's trying to lead you to do? And you're like, not now, not me. I got stuff to do. I just want to put it out there to you. God is in the business of appealing to you. He doesn't cut you off, but he's pursuing you and inviting you and inviting you to join him. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what we're going to do with this series. The truth is, and this is what I need you to catch. It's simple. God is not looking for talented, smart, and influential people. He's not. He's looking for willing people who are then able to obey. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians, actually, I'll do this in order. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, I think that should be the next one. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So the point is, he chooses the weak. That's why we're here. We're the weak. And he says, I've chosen you, not because of what you're going to add to me. I've chosen you because I'm thinking you will step into the gap for me. And he says, the thing I love to do is, with weak people, I get to demonstrate my power when they win. The underdog, when you know that they really shouldn't win and they pull it off, you know that power or whatever came from somewhere else. And that's what God says about you and me. He says, I didn't choose you. I'm not calling you because you're so awesome. He says, I'm calling you even with your issues, even with your attitude, because in this process, I'm going to change you and I'm going to use you in the life of others. Secondly, he looks to those who are willing to hear him and respond in obedience. This is probably the core verse of what we're going to be talking about for the next couple weeks. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord is spoken. That's God's invitation to all of us. Are you willing? And because of that willingness, able to be obedient, God says, you'll taste and see. I am good. I deliver. I was really blessed last night. Taylor Roy came up to me and she said, one of my friends came with me today to First Fruits. And she's Muslim. And she came to Christ tonight. I was like, dang, that is so cool. Thank you for being willing to invite her. Thank you for living out your life in front of her. Now you're going to really need to lovingly serve her and just help her. There's a lot of things she doesn't know. But you know what? You're at a point now in your Christian life where you can't take Sunday school stuff anymore. It's got to start working. You got to start seeing it. And that's where God's inviting you to. It starts with your will. Will I release it? Will I let God? It's interesting that Isaiah, shortly after he wrote this, God called and he said, you know, he asked the question, who will go? Who will speak this message for me? And Isaiah said, I will. I'm here. Send me. And that's what God is trying to do. You know, when I was at college, you get there and, you know, for guys at least, you know, we're not as smart as girls in terms of coming with all our decorations and things like that. So I remember I was at William & Mary and my roommate and I found this really awesome poster, you know, that we both had a poster we liked. So we brought it back and we're like, okay, how are we going to hang this up? Well, we were able to scrounge a nail. But you know what? We had no tools. We had no hammer, nothing. And you know what? At that point, you start looking at things really differently. Like, what's hard? You know, glass is sort of hard, but not going to go there. Oh, wow, there's a pen holder. It's kind of marbly. Yeah, that'll work. You know, so you go out there and you're trying to not break it, but you're tapping it in. And it worked. It's great. And that's the way God is. God says when he's looking around, he's not looking for, like I said, someone who's like the ultimate. He's looking for what's at hand, what's available. Are you available? If there was someone in your school who was really starting to seek him out, could he sovereignly start moving you into that person's world? Are you available to be used by him, for him to say, you need to love that one. You need to talk to that one. We've got our excuses. We've got our world. Are we willing to bust that up? Are we willing to be willing? And this is a verse that I think is really interesting. 1 Corinthians, it says this. Brothers and sisters, think not that when you were called, many of you were not wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things. This is us he's talking about, okay? The despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one will boast before him. It is because of him that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Why didn't he choose the mighty, the noble, the influential, the powerful? Because they're not willing. They're not willing to be available. And so he comes to us. It seems a little insulting that we're not the wise, we're not the powerful. But let's get real. If we look at ourselves, what do we, you know, we are gifted. But he says in the big picture, and he says not many, so some of you are. But he says, will you be willing to use what you have for me? So today, the one thing we're going to talk about, just really briefly, is this. Are you willing to be foolish? Are you willing to be considered a fool? And there's two questions I want you to think about, okay? And I'm actually going to give it to you at your tables, and you've got 2 minutes, okay? Not much time. Put up the questions. So all the tables up to here, you have question one. The question is, where do we fight and struggle not to look or act foolishly, and why? And so these tables over, you got question number two. Where are we okay with looking or acting foolishly, and why? Go. Okay, guys, you have about 30 seconds left. I know I'm not giving you a ton of time, but I'm looking to see if you can catch what we're talking about here. All right, let me have you back. Shh. Real quick, from this side. Shh. Give me some examples of things that we really fight to not look foolishly at. Can you give me some examples?
How you witness?
Mm-hmm. That's where it becomes like really seen. How about how you dress? Have you ever had, I asked one of the girls in our group yesterday, she was really fashion kind. She said, what's some fashion faux pas? And she's like, oh. And she gave me a couple. I'm like, hmm. So if you're wondering, I can give you some insight. So, not for me, for you guys. I know I'm a fashion trend. Well, it's just too long. I know, I'm uncool. All right, give me some more then. I'm willing to be foolish up here. Help me out. Where do you guys struggle with looking foolish?
P.E.
True.
Walking into a cafeteria, right? Not know where you're going to sit. And why, okay, let's pull it together. Why is it that we struggle? When we struggle, why is it we struggle with looking foolish? Yeah. Yes. Can you think of any other reasons? We're insecure. We don't feel good about ourselves. We're unsure about ourselves. I think that's the core. There's many different ways you could say it, but I think ultimately here's something that I thought of, that what others think about me affects what I conclude about my value. So I don't want to do something that I think will lessen my view in their eyes and therefore lessen my value even to myself. And so it shuts me up. It makes me pull back. It makes me do things or not do things. And that's not good. The second side of it is, what are some things that people do that they're okay with being foolish? Can you give me an example?
Being a class clown.
Okay. Good example.
Showing off your knowledge.
Showing off your knowledge. Yep. When you're with friends, you're more open to it. Yeah. One of the biggest ones that I think is really cool and funny is at a football game with fans that are like way into it. They will paint their bodies. They'll, in the middle of the freezing cold, no shirt, colored with a color, acting like idiots. Why not? The second area that I think about it most that happens is when you're in love. You will say things and do things, and you don't care. When I was pursuing Lisa, and we were at a Bible college, it was kind of small. One night, I got a couple of the guys, and I had the guts to go sing outside their dorm to her. And you know my singing voice, that was gutsy, right? But I didn't care. I didn't care. It's true. And if you love somebody, you better be willing to do that, okay? Because they need to know that that's how much you care. Okay, now, but I'm going to bring out a point. I'm bringing out a point. The thing that shuts us up and makes us not want to act is feeling foolish because we give so much value to what others think about us. But if there's something that we highly value, that we feel like we have a love for greater than our care even for ourselves, we are willing to be foolish. And that's where I want you to consider God. We struggle because the world does not accept the ways of God, the witness of God, the wisdom of God. God says the world thinks it's foolish. And so if we're primarily just concerned about myself, I will never live out my faith because everyone else will tell me something's wrong with me. Until the fact that I look at God and I say, God, you're more valuable to me than a team that I'll cheer for or a person that I love. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Would you help me love you in a way that I am unashamed, willing, and the Bible calls it out. It says we are fools for Christ. We are willing to be foolish. And here's what I want to close with. The truth is, we will all be fools. It's a guarantee. We are all going to be fools. What kind of fool are you going to be? Okay, here's the three options. God makes foolish the wisdom of the world. The world is foolish even in their wisdom. Richard Dawkins, looked to by many to be brilliant as an evolutionary biologist, makes strong statements about God tearing him down. Here's the deal. When he was pressed to the last step of, okay, you know, in terms of big picture issues, where do we come from, and things like that. Do you know where he went for his ultimate answer? Aliens. Are you kidding me? Aliens is his answer. That's the wisest, smartest guy having his best answer. Okay, the movies go there. The aliens show up in a lot of movies because they don't know where else to go. But if that's what the wisest guy says, I say that's foolish. And God, you know, being at William & Mary, met a lot of really brilliant people who were stupid because they were too smart for their own good. So the world, you can be foolish with the world. Secondly, our believers who know the truth, but like I described, they shut up, they shut down, they hide who they are, they hide what they know, and they become fools for their own sake because they are denying who they are and the power of God. I get it. I don't condemn you. I just say, let's not stay there. The third one is what God says is God's own fool, who, like Jesus, was willing to make himself of no reputation, though he had one, and is willing to humble himself, even to the point of death. He allowed people, when he was on the cross, they mocked him and said, hey, if you're really God, why don't you get yourself down? Could have done that. Could have wiped them out. If you and I were there, we probably would have wiped them out. But he didn't. He did not want to be on that cross, but he knew it was the only way that he could ever change and give them a chance. And he loved them that much. He was willing to be a fool. Are we willing to set aside what we think is so important about us and say, God, I know I am something because you've said that and it is true. I'm willing to be your fool. I want you to consider it for a moment. I'm going to play a quick song and then we're done. And this is one of my favorite artists. This is somebody, this isn't him singing it, but I'm going to put the words up and I want you to think about this and then I'll close. So just give me a moment to hear this song and we'll be done. But I really want you to think, a little high-pitched voice, look past that. Listen to the words. Father, I thank you that you are willing to be a fool, to be considered a fool, to be considered foolish on our behalf. And God, it is a hard thing that you call us to. But God, it is an awesome thing as well. Give us the faith, give us the courage. And Lord, even in our fellowship, help us to help each other be willing to be a fool before the world. Because that is the only way they will ever see and ever know what you've done. And God, it is also true that if we're willing to be God's own fool, that that is the only way that we'll see your power in our lives and know what it means to be close to you and to deal with our idols. So God, I pray you give these young men and women and us as staff the heart to be willing to follow you, even to be a fool. And God, I just pray if there's anyone here today who does not yet know you, God, help them to humbly receive what you've done for them. Father, this week we pray our heart of worship would be in thanksgiving to you, that we would be willing to humbly encourage and thank those you put around us. And we praise you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.